We're doing our class on the Jewish home, and we were in the middle of a discussion about speech. And today we're going to discuss criticism, appreciation, and And we'll see if we get to anything else. I'm not sure we'll get to anything else. So, imagine the following story. You know, there was a time in the United States where it was illegal to sell any alcoholic beverages. Yeah. What was it called?
Prohibition.
So, imagine during the time of Prohibition, you have a couple that walks down the aisle, and they get married, and after the wedding ceremony, they go into the cheder yichud, and the wife says, "Honey, I have a surprise for you." She walks over to a bag she has in the corner and pulls out a bottle of wine. Not illegal.
They need the wine for the wedding too, right?
Okay.
Yeah, I think it was legal for religious.
Okay, but this wasn't their religious purpose. Right. This is they're sitting in their own cheder yichud. Yeah. So they sit down there, and she pours him a cup. And pours her a cup. And as they're sipping the wine, there's a knock on the door. A strong knock on the door. It's the cops, let us in. They break open the door. And they see the two of them sitting there, caught red-handed, with the wine. And he looks at her, and she looks at him, and they look at the cup, and they look at the cop, and he says, "She brought it."
Wow.
What do you say?
Instant divorce.
So let's pause and let's rewind our story, okay? Let's go back a little bit before the story, okay? Let's go back only some 5,773 years. Adam and Eve, the first day of creation, God brings Eve to Adam. They eat the forbidden fruit, and God shows up. And what does Adam say? "She brought it." Now what? She's got no one else to go to, right? He's got no one else to go to. What are you going to do? No one else to marry. So it's a good thing to be stuck. Forces people to work things out. It's actually a good thing. But here we see something that the Torah brought us in the beginning of the Torah. Something happened there. What happened? How does Adam, on the first day, he was so lonely before the wedding. He wanted to get married so badly. He was looking around all of the Garden of Eden, and he looked through every animal and said, "That's not for me, and that's not for me, and that's not for me." And he interviewed every monkey and chimpanzee, and at the end he said, "None of them are for me, you know." And he went to sleep all depressed. Here he is, this brand new world, and everything's fresh and delicious, but there's something missing. He's got everything he could want in this world. You know, the ground produces bread. It doesn't produce grain. He doesn't have to plow the ground. Everything's working. There's a cloud that comes in and waters the ground, and the ground produces ready-made bread, and he's got fresh bread, and he's got streams of wine, and he's got these servants cooling off the wine, and he's got everything he could want. But no, life isn't worth anything. And he's very, very upset. He's all lonely. He's got no one with him. And then he goes to sleep. Huh? And then he goes to sleep. And he wakes up. And there she is. And the Medrash has some very exciting words over what happens when Adam wakes up and sees her. It says he kissed her. He hugged her. He was so happy. Wow! Look at that, I found you. Wow, what a gift. And an hour later, he's pointing a finger and saying, "She did it." How does that happen? So that's the introduction to our discussion today. The capacity of a man to be lonely and dying for that companionship And then an hour into the wedding, he could point the finger and tell the cops, she brought the wine. Something to think about. Where does it come from?
Because he was thinking of himself. He was lonely, and but he wasn't looking to give to somebody else. So when push came to shove, he blamed it on her, because the only reason he wanted her was to consult in the first place, because he was lonely. And he wanted companionship, and he wanted. And so now when he was facing a situation of danger, so he's willing to throw her, because he was thinking of himself all along.
How does the Torah describe Adam's loneliness?
That's not good.
But the Torah doesn't describe Adam as being lonely. It says, "Ul Adam lo matza ezer kenegdo." He couldn't find. He needed that friction and assistance and that unity. Zotapam, etzem atzamai. Chazal says, Zotapam. He said, this time, the chimpanzee didn't do it, and the monkey didn't do it, and none of the animals could give me the feeling I have when I'm with her. Now nitkarera da'ato. That's a term the Medrash uses. His spirit cooled. He was constantly walking around with this thirst, and now, I found the partner in life. Now, you're saying it was all about him. I think we have to pause and see maybe some more about what's going on here. Yes?
Are you talking about Saturn from like a male psyche standpoint? This wasn't he like a hermaphrodite before it split?
I'm saying there's a lesson we have to learn from it. There's we are talking about it from a male standpoint. Yes. The nature of marriage is that every day there are many things that are not exactly what you want. And I'm not only talking about burning the toast. I'm talking about you prepare toast and she walks into the kitchen and says, didn't I tell you that I don't want toast this morning? And you're thinking, shouldn't you first say thank you? Okay, so I forgot. You said you don't want toast. Okay? She's annoyed. You're annoyed. And life is built of many little annoyances. Especially when we get close to someone, we see their foibles even more acutely. We feel them more acutely. But our reaction is very closely reflective of Adam's reaction and that husband's reaction when he points to his wife and says, she brought it. And the truth is that the reaction is a gross reflection of a void. We're missing something, us men. What are we missing? What's missing in the formula? What had to be different so that he wouldn't point to her and say, she did it? So Yehuda pointed out one aspect. But there's another aspect which I think is maybe the mirror image of what Yehuda was saying. What does it take to be able to point and say, she did it? Yeah.
The feeling that she's not a part of you, that she's another.
Oh. So one is, she's not me, she did it. And I think in order to get to that one, there's a stepping stone, which is appreciation. I'll say it in a short way, and then we'll explore it more broadly. You can't become, or it's very difficult to become one with something you don't appreciate. On the contrary, you don't want to be one with something you don't appreciate. When you start looking at someone and say, wow, they're great, then you want to connect to them. Why does a guy want to date a girl? Okay, there's one reason we won't discuss in this classroom, but there's another reason. there's something about her that he says, I want to be a part of that. When you get married, what you're saying is, I want that person with me. I want to be with that person. There's a certain appreciation. What happens after marriage is that you start seeing all the things you don't appreciate. And then the appreciation wanes. And it's very natural. An hour after marriage, he could look at her. Now she's his. So now the hunt is over, so to speak. The game is over. There's no longer that thrill. Will she marry me? Won't she marry me? So I have such appreciation for what I don't have. Now it's mine. She's my wife. We're one. So now I start seeing, hey, wait a second. And it can happen the day after you get engaged too. Wait a second. I know a couple that right after they got married, she started telling him, you know your teeth are crooked. You know, you really got to have those teeth straightened out. You know, it's driving me crazy your teeth are so crooked. Okay? I know another couple where she hasn't stopped telling him he's balding. 7 years now. You know you're balding? You know, yeah, I know I'm balding. Go, you know. So she's buying him this shampoo and that shampoo and researching this implant and that implant. Hey, wait a second. Hold it. That's all you see about him?
She said that dress makes you look fat.
So, what we have to realize is that appreciation is rooted in perspective and habit. We sometimes think appreciation is something that'll hit me. Yeah, you hear a beautiful musician, you know they're great. No. I know a couple where he's one of the greatest musicians and she's always hearing when he's got the note off. He's hired by the top philharmonics. They want to fly him across the world to play. But his wife, what she hears is when he's off a key. You know, that wasn't as good as the time you played there.
Doesn't sound like religious marriages are any better than rest.
They have a lot of tools to work with to make them better. But that doesn't mean people will use them. People very often will approach marriage with a Western approach and not with a Jewish approach. And then the fact that they're wearing a yarmulke and a tichel isn't going to make the marriage work. Right? That's true. It's not a formula for success. Wearing a yarmulke is not a formula for success in marriage. Living the way of Torah helps.
What's the difference between a Western approach to marriage and a Jewish marriage?
Many. That's what this whole series is about. That's why it's called The Jewish Home. So we can develop appreciation. The way appreciation develops is by looking for it, verbalizing it, communicating it. What naturally happens in a marriage is that we communicate when we're upset. We communicate what bothers us. Why didn't you pick up the mail today? You know, we got the second notice from the mailman. Did you notice that she did pick up your clothes from the cleaners? No, of course she'd pick up the clothes from the cleaners. Why didn't you wash out the fridge? Did you notice she washed out the floor? Why didn't you get the meat I like for Shabbos? Did you notice she got the chont you did like for Shabbos? No. You can sit there and see all the things she didn't do right, but all the things she did do right, well, that's taken for granted. And what happens is it's very easy to see all the things that went wrong, and then the ticker keeps going. And it goes both ways. You know, I'm talking to you guys, but the same is true for a girl. So appreciation has to be created. It doesn't happen on autopilot. And part of creating it is verbalizing it, talking and showing it. And the truth is that it works both ways. You show appreciation, you will appreciate. You will appreciate, you will be happier. You will be happier, you'll appreciate more. You'll show appreciation, she'll be happier. She'll be happier, you'll be happier more. Appreciation is the glue of marriage. To be able to appreciate, to compliment, that is the glue of marriage. A person has to ask himself, anytime you're thinking of saying something that has a nuance of criticism to it, did I say 10 words of appreciation yet? What a chutzpah. I haven't said 10 words of appreciation, but the one little thing that's not exactly right, I think I have a right to say something about. I always challenge people. Ask yourself, vis-a-vis your children, vis-a-vis your spouse, How many words of appreciation? And appreciation isn't only about words, it's also about the countenance you show when you walk into the house. So men are very good at this. Women too. We save our worst face for our spouse. You could be happy and smiling and everything, and you walk through the door, you want to show her what a tough day you had. Now the wife is the same way. It works the same way. She can be yapping on the phone, and this and that, and then he walks through the door and suddenly it's like she saved the sourest face for him. You have no idea what a day I had. Wait a second. But this is our second nature. This is the way things will run their course if you don't stop and stop them. Rav Shlomo Zalman Orbach Zatzal, he was one of the great rabbis of Jerusalem, he used to pause before he entered the house, set his tie straight, set his clothing straight. I'm about to approach my partner in the Shechina. Okay? Put a smile on his face. You walk in at the end of the day, so you're about to throw all your burdens down at her feet, right? And she's about to throw hers at you. Wait a second. Why? I've suggested that people, when they come home, should take 10 minutes of tea time. Sit down, talk. You have the rest of life to share your troubles. Sit down in a positive way. Again, easier said than done. But the glue of marriage is appreciation, and the trouble really begins when we feel we can criticize. And it's very easy to find what to criticize. You will, in any marriage, you will find countless examples every day, most of the time you spend together. It's par for the course. So, appreciation builds appreciation. If I can express appreciation, I will start to appreciate. People think it goes the other way. I'll say it if I mean it. I'll mean it if I see it. I'll see it if I feel it. No. Say it, then you'll mean it. And mean it, then you'll see it. And see it, then you'll feel it. But you got to first say it. The first times you say it, you don't feel it. When was the last time you guys said a word of appreciation? Think about it. When was the last time someone walked into Rav Lichtman's door and said, you know, what a great place you keep here. What a great yeshiva. Walk into Rav Bigun and say, you know, this is a phenomenal yeshiva. I got so much out of this. I know how many people go to Dani and complain about the toilet paper that's not there, the soap that's not there. You're right. I'm not saying it's wrong. You're right. There is no toilet paper. There is no soap. There's a big problem here. I agree. And we can give a whole lecture about the sanitary conditions and the if Mishrad HaBriyut were down here, what would they say? And what this is causing? And it's no wonder that so many people are sick if we're all reusing the same towel. I could give you a list of things, right? But there are so many good things going on here. You know, we have running electricity. The yeshiva's electric bill. You know how many tens of thousands of dollars the yeshiva pays each month? Just on electric and taxes, because we have this building? Taxes. Simple taxes, arnona. the yeshiva's budget is mind-boggling. Over $1 million shekel a month. That's an idea. That's an idea. That's our nature. That's our nature vis-a-vis everyone. But in marriage, it doesn't work. In marriage, this is the most serious problem that most couples face in their marriage, and the most potent solution or potential for a solution, which people don't realize and people don't do. And part of the reason is the misconception we described a minute ago. People wait to feel appreciation. No. We should verbalize appreciation even if we don't feel it. What you're doing is you're building bridges.
I have a question.
I'm listening.
Would it not be the case that when you decide that you're going to marry someone, that you make that decision based upon appreciating her to begin with, and appreciating who she is and will be as a character and how who she will be in relationship to you and who she will be in order to receive that like that you want to give to her and everything?
That's true, but what's going to happen the first time she does laundry and she doesn't realize that in Israel the temperature hits 95 degrees and you come out with all your white shirts, this light bluish tinge of your sock? Now, what appreciation are you supposed to do for that laundry cycle?
We get to switch colored clothing now. We get to wear blue. I love you, honey.
Wow, I didn't even think of this myself.
And what happens when, you know, she doesn't realize she's sitting on a bus reading her credit card number out loud, and someone's there copying down every word, and by the time she comes home, you guys have had all your identity stolen, and you know, you're playing catch up for the next 3 months, and you still have the debt to work with. I know you're brilliant, I know you're kind, I know you're trusting, but I also know it just cost us all our life savings, and all the gifts from the wedding are being used to pay off all the debt, and we still aren't sure we're going to cover it, because you know, here in Israel, they don't cover identity theft. Your credit card company doesn't do what they do in the United States. So appreciation runs only so far. Off, you know, there's only so much steam that the excitement of engagement will take you. At some point, you're going to have to contend with what happens next. And what happens next is a million surprises.
What do you mean?
What do I mean? You wake up in the morning and you discover she's snoring and she hasn't let you sleep all night.
Oh my God.
And you start walking off the bed groggily and she's like, Ari, you slept the whole night. I could barely sleep. Why are you walking so groggily? And you're thinking, she has a right to tell me about how I walk. I just opened my eyes. She couldn't say good morning. You go and you look for the toothbrush and your toothpaste, and you see that she by mistake used your toothbrush to clean the toilet. And you notice it after you used it. You notice it afterwards. Yeah, you had a lot of appreciation before you got married. But now you're you get the idea. There's there are surprises. And everyone has surprises. So you know, there was a couple that you should laugh about it. It's not so easy. You know, there was a couple who she would never put out matches before she threw them into the garbage. She would say, don't they go out on their own in the garbage? You know, after the third fire, she started getting convinced. She would use a match and throw it lit into the garbage. You know, so yeah, you know, you look at that, you all laugh, but each of us has these things which you look at and you say, where'd you grow up? Right? You're laughing. I'm telling you, in every marriage, yeah, you discover your spouse, there's something what's going on here.
Well, you know? The first time, the next two times is probably just a spite you.
No, it's very hard to change a habit. Now, what are you going to say? Honey, I love the smell of smoke in the house, you know. It's not going to work. No, you have a problem. Okay, so there are always going to be surprises, and there are always going to be challenges, and there are always going to be issues, and the root of it all begins with, can I have appreciation? And in order to have appreciation, I have to create appreciation, because by our nature, us men are just like that guy in Prohibition, and it started with Adam HaRishon. It says that when they built the Tower of Babel, so here they have all this blessing God gave them in the world, and they say, we're going to go rebel. So what does it say? God came down to see the tower, Asher Banu Bnei HaAdam, that the Son of Man created. Says the Medrash, why are they called the Son of Man? To tell us, God was saying, you're just like your grandfather Adam. Adam didn't have appreciation for the wife I gave him. You guys don't have appreciation for the world I gave you. Now you're rebelling against me for what? So this is a recurring theme in humanity. But when it manifests itself in a relationship, then this is the destruction of the relationship. So the cure for that is to create appreciation. And I call it to create appreciation because our weakness is that we don't have it naturally. It doesn't come naturally. We don't look at a wife and say, wow, you did my laundry. Thank you so much. You might say it the first time. You might say it the second time. But try saying it a decade into marriage. You should say it. But you have to create it. And what happens is we take more and more and more for granted. And then we start feeling really bad for ourselves. Because I'm putting up with A and B and C and D. And who else has a wife who throws a lit match into the garbage? And who else has a wife who forgets that she shouldn't brush the toilet with her husband's toothbrush? And who else has a wife who inadvertently spills? I have a friend whose wife he works in laptops, and she's always spilling cups of water. So you could understand how many laptops he's had to recreate from her spills. Okay, you know, we all, what?
At least he's getting experience.
He's getting experience, right. Burnt motherboard, some experience, yeah.
There's a tikkun. And it's something to correct their soul, and they probably just smile and say, "Thank you, honey. You just elevated it."
Shit, I was going to tell you that you can do that.
But there has to be real appreciation, and real appreciation is something we have to work on. Doesn't come easy. After we verbalize it and say it, and slowly we'll learn to mean it, and that verbalization creates the bond in marriage. Now the flip side, criticism. You want to destroy a marriage, criticize. And kid yourself with the claim, "But I'm right." Doesn't she realize how dangerous it is to throw matches into the garbage? "But I'm right. What does she want from me?" That's not a question whether you're right or wrong. Criticism is the knife that cuts between us. Any bond that exists in a marriage is destroyed when we criticize. And it's the small criticism and the big criticism, and it makes no difference how right you are. The one formula, if you want to know one formula to make a marriage work, this is it. Showing appreciation is what builds, saying criticism is what destroys. And it has nothing to do with who's right. So, Be'ezrat Hashem, next time we will pick up with this point of the rules of criticism, when to criticize, how to criticize, if to criticize. All of that, Be'ezrat Hashem, next week. We're out of time for this week. We got to switch to our Tanakh class. Yeah, Nahum.
I was just going to say, there has to be constructive criticism, but you said there are forms of criticism. So, never mind. Next week,
Be'ezrat Hashem, yeah.